What you doing, America? What you doing, overseas people? It is Michael Loftus here with a brand new Loftus party. We got the Liberty Gypsy, the Liberty Gimlet. She's changed locations this week. Ooh. Another undisclosed location.
A very packed and full undisclosed location. The entire Gypsy family is here.
You got the whole brood.
We're having a Gypsy family reunion, yeah.
That's great. There's so many crystal balls, and there's so many gimlets, and there's so many head bandanas and wacky oversized earrings. It's a Gypsy family reunion.
It's what, 3 o'clock? I could use a gimlet already.
Happy days. Happy days. Okay, we're going to rip this one. This is what we're doing. We're just going to tear into the news like a hungry beaver tears into a mid-sized maple. I don't know where
did that come from?
I don't know, but it's just fun to say a hungry beaver. Okay, here's what's been bugging me. I want to rant a little bit. I want to bitch a little bit. I want to moan a little bit. This whole thing with the fake news has just gotten way out of hand. And I'm tired of Jim Acosta. I said it on the Twitter feed the other day. I'm going to make fun of this dude every chance I get. He wants to be in the spotlight. You get to be in the spotlight, you giant douche. No one, I'll say this right out of the gate, no one is going to run around shutting down newspapers because they don't want to know the truth. No one in America is like, just get them. Get them. They have a printing press. We have to quash them. Listen. We need a fair press. We need an honest and open fair press. It's when you got an agenda. It's when you got an agenda, you jackass. And the press has had an agenda against Trump from Jump Street, from absolute Jump Street. I go right back to his first day in the Oval Office. They're like, he moved the Martin Luther King bust. He moved the Martin Luther King bust. Blah, 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 blah. And they all just shit themselves over that. And like, oh, oops, there was the guy standing in front of it. I couldn't see it. That's just one example that I have. But it's been an endless, constant stream of that. And for Jim Acosta to like try to make Sarah Sanders say what I want, say what I want, say it, say it, say it. It was like watching a little effeminate bully attack a girl on the playground, like, say uncle, say uncle. And of course she wouldn't say it. Everyone wants a free press, you dopes. What are your thoughts on Acosta there, Gimlet?
Acosta needs to stop making himself the story. I saw clips from his tearful interview with Brooke Baldwin about...
It's un-American! It's un-American!
Okay, first of all, if you're going to tweet out that I stormed out of a press conference because Sarah Sanders wouldn't say what I wanted her to say, I need footage of you actually storming out. You actually left when it was over. Stop trying to be a hero. That's number one. Number two, if you really want to be a hero, buy a cape and put like 1A on the back and run around in the White House press room, because that's about as effective as you are right now. And at least buy one that matches your underoos, Jim. Got to match the underoos. You know, last but not least, he's an activist. He's not a journalist. I mean, we knew this from the Statue of Liberty speech, right?
Yeah.
I just have zero respect for him. And every time the press tries to make the press the story, I just get that much less interested in them.
Why can't anyone articulate it like we are? This is why you're smart for listening to this show, you guys. This is why, pat yourself on the back. Pull over, pat yourself on the back, use your turn signal, then get back on the car and drive safely. 10-2, you guys. It's the dumbest thing. I was on, I'm gonna name drop a little bit. Michael Steele, yep, and Rick Unger have a little show on XM radio.
Mm-hmm.
Steele and Unger. Steele and Unger. You can listen to it on XM
satellite radio.
And before the election, Michael Steele was on holiday, and Rick Unger asked me to come in and sit in. It was so much fun. So I'm living in New York. I'm in the XM studios, and they get they get a journalist, a quote-unquote journalist, from CNN, calls in, talking to me and Rick Unger. And this guy's like, I can no longer cover the president without injecting my own opinion. He's or Donald Trump. Trump hadn't been elected yet. He's like, this guy, I can't cover him objectively. My stories are this. And he said it. It was just like, just very flippant. And I'm like, well, then, dude, you're not a journalist. If you can't do it, you can't cover it. Like, if you can't cover him objectively, he was like making an excuse for, I can't. My opinion is so strong, and I'm so justified and right, I can't keep my opinion out of it. And then so I just casually go, well, then you're not a journalist. You know, you're writing an opinion piece. And Rick Unger shoots me a look like, hey, we treat him nice. And during the break, Rick Unger's like, we treat these guys nice when they call in. And I'm like, I was being completely civil. But, like, if you can't keep your opinion out of it, go write an opinion piece, but don't call yourself a journalist.
Well, exactly. So let's take what happened. I can't remember because, you know, it's Twitter life. It was yesterday, the day before. Trump tweeted out something about LeBron James in response to LeBron James's interview with Don Lemon. And in the end, yeah, put, I like Mike. For anybody who was confused, that means Michael Jordan. It also means you were born after about 1986. But writing that newspaper story would have been LeBron James appeared on Don Lemon's show, da-da-da-da-da. Here's what he said. In response to LeBron's comments, Donald Trump tweeted blank. That's the news story, and then anybody reading it can decide where they fall down on what they think about it.
Yeah.
That's never what happens. Do
no,
you know what I mean?
No, it's always the end of the world. It's always the end of the world.
I'm tired of the Trump tweet news cycle as well.
Mm.
Like,
I'm digging it. And here's why.
I'll tell here's you why I don't.
Because the mask is coming off. The more, listen, Trump is not a politician. He's a New Yorker. He's a business guy who's got an unorthodox style, but it's worked for him pretty much in business. I still don't see how you lose money on a casino. I always that's the
maybe
the
it
one
had more to do with it being in Atlantic City.
Yeah, I think it probably did. What a scuzzy little neighborhood. Anyway, I love that he hits back. And I love that it's the best. Listen, when you watch the LeBron, and I'm a huge LeBron fan.
So am I.
And I think what he's doing with his school and inner city kids, that's awesome, and that's how it's supposed to work. Hi,
his money where his mouth is.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the government didn't make him do it, and no one's making him do it at the point of a gun, and it's not a socialist coming in and taking all his money.
Nope.
He's like, I'm going to help my community. That is badass. That is awesome, and I'm always going to celebrate it. Here's where he went off the rails. He's sitting down to Don Lemon, and he's like just talking smack about Trump, and he's like, yeah, I wouldn't sit down with him. I wouldn't sit across the table from him. I wouldn't do it. Like, okay, so If you're going to call me, that's in a way that's saying that, like, I'm such a horrible human being, you can't even sit down at a table with me. Well, okay, so you dislike me. Guess what? I dislike you too then. So now I'm going to talk smack about you and the goofus who interviewed you. And in a wonderful twist, he picks sides. And he goes, I like Michael Jordan. So, and then Michael Jordan comes out and like, because he and LeBron, there's that huge competition with those guys. That's the most boring conversation on the planet. Who's better, LeBron or Mike? Who's better, LeBron or Mike? So Mike picks, he goes, I'm with LeBron. So Donald Trump has voiced his opinion and brought the black community closer together. He's healing. Through his insults, he's healing. The NBA's a better place.
You know what my biggest problem with that whole thing is?
Huh.
So Don Lemon is sitting down with LeBron James to talk about the Promise School and all that great stuff you just talked about that LeBron is doing to give back to the community and do something really unique. right?
Yeah.
I'm paying for the uniforms. That means those children are going to school in a uniform. This is
Yep.
going to be like a, you're going to be here, you're going to straighten up, you're going to fly right. Education is important. You're going to get yours. And if you get yours, I'll pay for it.
And you're not going to be judged by your appearance. That's
At
what I love
all.
about the uniforms.
I know.
It's not like, hey, you're rich, you're poor, boom.
I went to schools that had uniforms and I went to schools that didn't have uniforms. There was a whole lot more sense of community and less differences between peers in the schools that had them than the schools that didn't. But my
What
problem
was
with this.
the official uniform of the gypsy school? Was it a headband?
Actually, the
I'm
school
kidding.
I went to, it was a navy blue skirt, had to be below the knees, and an Oxford top along with a cardigan.
Boo,
Yeah, I know.
boo.
Wasn't even plaid. It was boring. But the major problem I had with that interview is that it even got to Trump. What is political, or what does Trump have to do with this amazing charity that LeBron is doing? Nothing.
Nothing,
Like,
nothing,
why
nothing.
did Don Lemon even have to open that can of worms? Other than he's a freaking activist and he's going to bring anybody into that conversation that he can.
Well, yeah. And then here's the funny thing. Like, they bring Trump into it. They bring Trump into it. Trump comments, and then they go, well, he's trying to use sports to divide us. Look at him go. Look at him try to use.
Okay,
And
okay.
then,
No,
of
no, no,
course,
no,
the
no, no,
Don
no, no.
Lemons of the world would say that it goes back to the NFL and the kneeling and the blah, 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 blah.
It goes back to ESPN and it even goes back to some degree to Howard Cosell. The frequency of politics in our sports has definitely gone overboard. But you want to talk about divisiveness? They just gave that Jemele Hill
We're
a
not.
journalism award.
Oh, yeah. With the whole that to me
I'm
is
like,
just
if you.
so. It's just so like boring and predictable.
But
And
you
this
don't.
whole little these. I say, here's the thing, man. And I want to go on record as saying this. I follow that that SE Cup girl. She's got a show on. It's
HLN,
either
I think. Yeah.
Headline News or CNN, and she's like. I respect her. I like her. I've never met her, all that stuff. So she has like a monologue that she's done about the fake press and the president's attack. And she's like, this is important. You need to watch this. And I watch it, and it's like she's taken the bait too. What we do is important. A free and open press is important to a
But
democracy.
she's not a
Our job
reporter.
is to question the precedent. Our job is to question the president. And you're like, yeah, everyone gets it. And
Okay.
the problem is the free and open press, whose job was to question the president, took a nap for 8 years. And you've got an agenda, and we've seen your agenda. Like, Trump didn't start any of this crap. He is the result of it. He is a result of we're the press. We don't like conservatives. We love the Democratic Party because we're all Democrats. So we're going to spoon feed you a bunch of garbage and tell you it's true, la-di-da-di-da-di, and everything's wonderful when it's not. You've spent years lying. It is the fake news. It's the freaking fake news. So it's not like Trump just invented this crap.
No,
He
but
didn't start it. He's the result. He's the result.
here's the other th SE Cup is
I'm
not a
fired up today.
journalist, but SE Cup is a commentator.
We're all journalists. When the
No,
president
no, 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 no,
attacks
no.
us like this, Liberty, when the president attacks us, we're all journalists and we all have to
No.
stand together. It's like Mika Brzezinski, it's like Joe Scarborough. All of
They're
a sudden they all start
commentators.
calling them yep, but all of a sudden when they think because they're it's ego and they're narcissists and they can't keep themselves out of the story, it's the president attacking us personally. Listen, I've said this before and I must have not
Okay.
I probably didn't do very I wasn't didn't do a funny job of doing it, but like when the president sends troops in to surround a newspaper and says, do not publish that, when the president sends the Gestapo in to cut power to the New York Times, when he actually physically shuts someone down, let me know. Let me know. But it ain't happening. All these douchebag journalists with their, the sky is falling. It's a personal attack. We're no better than Venezuela. Oh my gosh, he's Hitler. Shut up. You're so boring. You're so predictable. Oh, I'm fired up.
Okay, freedom of the press means you can write what you want. You can say what you want. Now, there's certain legal definitions. You can't just outright defame, slander, or libel someone, which I think is a good thing. You have to be somewhat honest, right?
Yeah.
A free press does not mean you're admitted to every event. You ask a question, you automatically get an answer. You even get to ask a question. Like, a free press means you can write what you want. You can report the way you want to report. It doesn't mean that anybody owes you anything, to include reading or listening to you, if we don't think you're worth it. I don't know how else to put it. I write for you. I write for a couple other places. Nobody has to read me. And I'm not a reporter. I don't break stories. I comment on what's going on in the culture, what's going on in the news, and what's going on in entertainment. And it comes from a perspective, and I'm not shy about saying that. The problem with people like Acosta is they can't even say they're coming from a perspective. And the thing that I found most interesting is they got all this feedback with these tweets that went on over the press conference. How about this? How about that? Oh, and the one with the Trump rally where he felt so intimidated. Whatever. They got so much feedback. Yeah, let's look at all the times the people on the right have been attacked, kicked out of restaurants, shot, da-da-da-da-da-da. You don't cover these things, and we're supposed to care about people flipping you off at a Trump rally?
Here's the best part. So. This is the best example. This is the best example. So there's footage, and it's making its way across the internet. Jim Acosta standing there trying to do a live report. The camera slowly pans. There's like the bigger woman who's flipping him off, and there's other people going, go home, and you know, screw you, and they're saying stuff. And the camera's panning right, and there's a dude in a red shirt with his cell phone up, and he's yelling, tell the truth. Tell the truth, tell the truth, over and over. Then the camera pans back left, back towards the bigger lady in the muumuu, who's much better for television because she's flipping him off and she's screaming obscenities. So the day after this happens, Andrea Mitchell on MSNBC, because I watched that, because I watched the MSNBC, I need my morning Joe. She's like, it's getting scary. Someone's going to get hurt.
People have already been hurt.
I know! They have no memory of a baseball field full of Republican congressmen getting shot. They have zero memory of that.
Can I give you another story that
Hold on. I haven't made my point.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So Andrea Mitchell's like, it's getting dangerous out there because these people are they're attacking the press. They're attacking the press. She shows the footage. And when it gets to the part where the camera pans right and the guy's yelling, tell the truth, tell the truth, tell the truth, they edit that out. And they cut back to the camera panning left. And I'm like, you have completely, in that one moment, you that's exactly what I'm talking about. They literally cut away from the guy saying, tell the truth, tell the truth. You have an audience full of people demanding truth from journalism, and the quote-unquote journalist did not tell the truth about that event. It was the perfect encapsulation of the moment.
I swear to God, I saw some later picture, and I didn't have time to investigate it, so if I'm pumping a meme, I'm sorry. But there was actually a picture of Acosta Lake signing autographs with a MAGA hat on.
Oh, I saw footage today. He didn't have a MAGA hat on, but I saw footage today of Acosta, you know, being a nice guy, taking pictures with people.
Exactly.
They had MAGA hats on. He's signing autographs. He's being an okay guy. Oh yeah, he was. He
But
felt very threatened.
for
He felt
all
very threatened. It was like being at an Antifa rally
in
in
Portland,
Seattle.
yeah,
Yeah,
Portland's a mess.
I got a friend who's up there. She's hanging out with the Proud Boys and that whole crew.
Patriot
So,
prayer.
yeah. So she'll be back. I think she flies home later on today. I expect to get a full update from her tomorrow. We should have
We
her on
should
the
have her
show.
on the show,
That's
definitely.
what I'm saying. We did a
I
little
think
bit.
Tim Pool's up there too. We're trying to get him.
It's getting crazy. It's getting crazy. But
Well,
like, listen, no one's attacking no one's attacking the press. No one is and then like it, and when Trump calls when Trump calls you out from for being fake, how about you show him? How about you and it's tell
they
report facts.
can't. They
Report
can't.
facts.
Okay, so the press is under all of this kind of threat, and their very lives are in danger. You know what would have been a great story for them to report this week?
Huh.
Two Democrats, I believe one from New York and one from somewhere else, were arrested for making credible threats to Rep. Steve Scalise and his family, and I believe it's Representative Smith. Those people are actually arrested and charged for credible threats to two members of the House of Representatives.
Yeah.
You saw
Yeah.
that nowhere in the mainstream media. Nowhere.
It is, and this is what the other we say it all the time. It's the great side effect of Trump is like you see it now, in the coverage and what they say is important. Here's the other one. This was great today. I was watching the Chris Wallace show on Fox. He had John Bolton on, and they keep trying to say the mainstream media, the press. They keep trying to say that Donald Trump doesn't believe that Russia attempted to interfere in the election because Donald Trump goes keeps saying referencing the Russian hoax, when clearly, in my mind, he's talking about the investigation into him and collusion.
Right.
It's abundantly clear he feels the whole Mueller investigation is a witch hunt. I think he might have even used those words in the
He did.
past.
He did.
I think a couple occasions, maybe in a
Maybe
tweet or two.
10,
So it's
12.
Obvious he's talking about that. And then these journalists are like, why? Why does Donald Trump keep saying the Russia hoax? Doesn't he know? He had his own people come out and do a press conference saying that Russia did attempt to interfere in the election. Why would Donald Trump deny this? And God bless John Bolton. God bless John Bolton. He was just like, it's abundantly clear, blah, 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 blah. But it just sucks that you have to hold their hand. And walk them through, hey, your little bullshit lie isn't going to work. It's just not going to work. Okay? So we're talking about two different things. It's the same thing they're doing with the whole fake news.
Oh my God. You want to know what other story they could have covered?
Yeah, bring it.
Dianne Feinstein's driver in San Francisco in her home office for years while she was the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee is a Chinese spy.
Sweet Lord in heaven.
You haven't seen this?
And oh, that it's that quiet. It's
Oh,
one of
I
those
know. Nowhere.
things that because there's
Nowhere.
no coverage of it, you're like, is this, here's the deal. You start thinking, is this fake? Like I saw that on Twitter, and
It
I
was
did a
the
little
local
bit of
San
research,
Francisco station.
but
Is
she
CBS
was like
San
that. She was with
Francisco
Dianne Feinstein
covered
for like
it.
20 years.
But
A
CBS San
Chinese mole.
Francisco covered it, and it never got to CBS.
Isn't
What?
that crazy? Isn't that crazy?
He was a Chinese spy. That's really
Yeah.
bad. And then
Yes.
she
And it's
just
like,
kind
and
of
Dianne
like.
Feinstein, she's not like some junior level. Isn't she like on
No.
the Senate Intelligence
Yeah, she
Committee or
was the
like?
head of it under Obama.
And her driver was a spy. That's just for a long time.
20 years. And I
It's
guess like
ridiculous.
5 years ago, she was informed and forced him to retire and then never said anything. So this is all just coming out now.
Yeah, it's like those wacky packies who did all that computer work for the DNC.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing.
That to me, obviously it's the Russians. Obviously it's the Russians. Well, who were those Pakistani dudes who tried to flee the country? They were good guys. They're good people. Don't even worry about that. They were moving money around. They were trying to flee the country. Shut up! It was the Russians. It was Vladimir Putin personally hacked John Podesta.
It was a phishing email. That's not even a hack.
I know. It's funny. But I got a video I can't wait to drop. Go ahead.
Those are seriously two major stories. Crickets. Yes. Crickets.
Yes, because it doesn't fit their agenda.
How do you... Those two things are really newsworthy. People are being arrested for credible threats to our elected representatives and their families. And the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee, who still sits on it, by the way, had a Chinese spy for a driver for 20 years that she used to send to functions at the Chinese consulate for her.
It's mind-boggling. It's jaw-dropping. Hold on, I'm just making some notes.
I feel a vlog coming on.
Well, yeah, I mean, how do you not report that? How is that not front page news? And the wacky packies who did all the work on the DNC computers.
The only really good reporting on that was being done by the Daily Caller. I think it's...
Yeah.
I have to look. I just lost
And then
name.
Someone
Luke.
Someone said recently, hey, if you work for the Daily Caller, you're not a journalist. You're not a journalist.
Oh, but you know
it's, what? It's like how they demonize Fox News. Now they're demonizing the Daily Caller. They've got to demonize anybody who thinks a story is important when they don't.
Right.
It's just unbelievable.
But you know what was a big story this week? The museum had the temerity to make a t-shirt that had fake news on it. And the mainstream media lost their freaking minds. All I did was order three. Like, if that's making you mad, I'm buying one. I'm buying one. And then they pulled them under pressure and said, we're so sorry. The press is not the enemy of the people. I'm like, oh my God, will you people stop apologizing? Stop!
No, but I hear they're selling them again.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, whatever website that was selling the stop fake news, blah, 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 they're selling them again. They actually stood up for themselves.
Because they issued an apology yesterday.
Yeah, oh, the latest I heard is like, no, we're going to be inclusive. This is a part of freedom of speech, blah, blah, blah. They actually did the right thing.
Oh, I hope so, because that would make me feel so much better. I'm so sick of the groveling apologies. Sick of them.
Yeah. I'm sick of the groveling apologies. I'm sick of the, it's, we can have free speech, but you can't have free speech. We can be racist, but you can't be racist. It's like this, this Korean girl who now works for the, oh man. And as of this morning, which I thought was just, was brilliantly done. It was one of those things where you're jealous when you see something that's like so smart and it was right there and you didn't do it and someone else did. Candace Owens took a bunch of that Korean chick, and that's what I'm going to call her, that Korean chick. I saw a little clip of her is speaking in front of like a Harvard class or something. Just seems stupid. This chick just seems stupid. Candace Owens took a bunch of this girl's old tweets, old 3 years ago, 3 years ago, took a bunch of her tweets, and she replaced the word white with black.
Mm-hmm.
And she took the word white and replaced it with Jew.
Mm-hmm.
And Twitter shut her down. They sent her to Twitter jail for, I guess, the day. But like, oh, so it's offensive, is it? It's offensive, is it? And this here's another one that has me just like, oh my gosh, it has a bee in my bonnet. This whole thing where, because she's from Korea, because she's Asian, what she says about white people can't be construed as racist because she's not in a position of power.
When you're and on you're like, the New York editorial
and you're like, bitch, is this a numbers game? Is this a numbers game? Like who has more power? Because I would make the argument that if it was Asians versus white people, just from a numbers perspective, I think the Asians would win. Because there's so damn many of them. So, if anything, it's impossible for white people to be racist against Asians. Huh, how about that?
Well, it's not just that. If you are sitting on the New York Times editorial board, you have power.
Yes. And
I don't know how you can say she doesn't have more power than I do.
Listen, if and it boils down to this, and I've tried to come up with a way to say it clearly and concisely, and I think I'm close, but like, if you don't like somebody because of their race, you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just go around going, kill all white people. Well, that can't be racist because I'm not white, and there's and they have the power. Okay, screw you.
Only mean to old men of a certain race and get your jollies off it, which this girl actually tweeted, you're a racist. Period.
Yeah. It's,
first of all, you're an ageist and a racist and sexist because you're only picking on old men of a certain race.
Yeah, and the other thing, and I will say this, in this Korean chicks, I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that all of these tweets and stuff I'm seeing out of context. I mean, you see the one tweet. It could have been that could have been the funniest punchline in the world. I should say that publicly. Like her thing about white people and their white skin and they should live underground and I'm going to start calling them white goblins, whatever. That might have been the end of a very, very funny thread.
Yeah, no,
that
somebody might have
been
actually
like the funniest thing ever. However, when you just take it one tweet at a time, it looks bad.
Well, and some people did pull the context and no, that wasn't what it was about. It wasn't a joke. So,
well, and then once again, so now we always think, the New York Times, they lean left. And occasionally the New York Times, in order to appear like fair and honest journalism, they will do a story like they were the one that broke the Hillary's email story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they had any idea what they were doing. I don't know how that one snuck through. But now, you know, and here's the other thing. And I'll kind of use this as a segue as we roll along. We're letting it rip today, you guys. And I'm having a blast. Their editorial page is always like, when's the last time you heard about the New York Times doing a rah-rah-rah pro-Trump editorial? I can't remember one.
No,
it's anti-Trump, it's anti-conservative, and now it's oddly pro-socialist.
Well, very pro-socialist.
Oh my gosh! Hey, yeah, the communists had a better sex life. Hey, ladies, ever think about socialism? You'll have more orgasms. Like, oh, the socialist system. Like, hey, it's becoming abundantly clear, everybody, that's propaganda.
Well, and the neat thing about this is this Sarah girl.
Sarah Chung.
When I clicked to see who this was, because I had no idea, she has me like preemptively blocked. I've never interacted with this person. She used to write for Vice News and Tech and was probably involved in Gamergate. I was involved in none of that. And then I have another Twitter user that I've known for a really long time. We come from the completely opposite perspective on everything. He goes by the handle Left Dial. She has him blocked and he's a progressive. Like, she's blocked 3/4 of Twitter. So I don't know who's going to read her stuff anyway.
Well, in a weird way, it worked for the New York Times. They're getting a lot of free ads, you know, because we're talking about her. We're talking about their editorial page. However, the danger that I see is all this whole pro-socialism stuff.
Yeah.
Pro-socialism, as the nation gets dumber, I just read an article, a couple things that were very, very striking. And this is just from the Sky is Falling Department, there's been a 280% increase in Young Democratic Socialists of America clubs. They have seen a 280% increase since 2016.
But I think
in 2016, they had 15 chapters in colleges across the country. 15. Mm-hmm. And now they have 57.
And I think it's like 40,000 people is what I read now.
Well, I listen, there is no pot of gold at the end of the socialist rainbow.
No, none. There is for people like Bernie, there is. Like, he'll still have his lake house. You just won't have anything.
Well, did you see they tried to whack Maduro last night?
Oh, did they? Down in Venezuela? Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you were eating zoo animals, I'm thinking you might try to whack him.
It was a wild piece of video. He's given a speech. It's like a big parade, and the army's all there, the National Guard. They're all in their uniforms, and they're all standing out in front. It's like the classic, communist, socialist parades.
Stalin,
everybody's
Hitler,
in uniform.
Yeah, Castro,
yeah.
Whatever.
Maduro's given a speech, and I guess, and I never did thought about this one. This is actually a pretty good. Someone had a drone, and the drone had C4,
God.
It detonated early. They didn't get it all the way to the stands where Maduro was given a speech. But you see the coverage of him giving the speech, and then boom, the camera shakes. Then everyone around him reacts, and these guys come up and they put up like these shields, and then this one like little douchey little army guy makes a big show of standing by Maduro. I will protect you, El General, or whatever. But that's what you get with socialism. You get a bunch of starving people, and now
really
we're at the phase
angry.
Who get very angry, and now we're at the phase of let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. They're gonna try to kill him. So there you have it. Yay. So this whole idea, and it's like this this other dumb chick from Queens who, like, I don't know about globalism. I don't know global politics. Well, then why are you running for and what was your major in college? Or Tez or T? I don't even know that girl's name.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'm glad you remembered it. And another great article that a buddy of mine sent to me, that it was written in the National Review by this dude, Victor Davis Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about the growing divide in America. It's got one of those real clickbaity kind of, you know, the here comes the Civil War. But he said something that really stuck out at me about college life and campus life. And he's like, I'm trying to quote it here, history became a melodramatic game of finding sinners and saints,
mm-hmm,
rather than shared tragedy. And that is one of those times where the dude just put the hammer, boom, right down, hit it right on the head. History became a melodramatic game of finding sinners and saints rather than shared tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
That is the problem. Everyone, it seems to me, and granted, I'm biased. I look at my clips. I try to look at everything. But like college life now, and it's like white people ruined everything. And here's the problem with this. And this war is that guy's fault. And this thing is this guy's fault. However, we should focus more on the shared tragedy of events.
Mm-hmm.
That they're literally teaching people, like, just like, listen, things are bad, and here's who to blame, and now we need to get even. It's an assault.
It's assault on
game,
reason,
point
is what it is.
It really is.
Yeah. Okay, so when you are now looking at the third wave feminist movement, and you are seeing in Europe and certain blue states here that women are being booted out of the movement because they don't believe male to female trans people are really women. So then you're called a TERF and you're not allowed at the party anymore. So you're an actual woman who's not allowed to be a feminist. What?
There's no
logic there at all. None.
Yeah. It's It's I want it to start crumbling. I want it to implode a little faster than it is, because right now it's for me it's a race. It's a race between the implosion of the far left and the rising popularity of socialism. Listen, the government is not going to save you. And no. Identity politics is never going to work, because it's never going to be equal, and it just keeps getting reduced farther and farther. Did you see Cory Booker the other day?
Oh, my God.
Had that big sign up. Walls don't work. Tear them all down. No walls in Mexico. No walls in Israel. No, like, oh, really? So you want to tell Israel to tear down their wall? Okay. Why don't you go over there and say it, buddy? Cory Booker guy and his melodramatic, overacting, fake tears. And here's the funny thing about Cory Booker, and I enjoy watching him. He thinks he's so good. He thinks he's such a powerful speaker. It's hilarious. It's hilarious to watch him try so hard to be dramatic.
He gives me hives. Like, I literally break out in hives when I listen to him, because I get so irritated. But
here's a horrifying story. Here's a horrifying story. And this goes to the whole socialism thing. And socialized medicine and the government will dole out your health care. There's these growing cases in these countries like the Netherlands,
mm-hmm.
where they have these right to die and euthanasia, where they're euthanizing people against their will.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this has been a huge problem in England.
It
huge
is terrifying.
No, they just
my buddy sent me an article about this lady in the Netherlands who had dementia.
Yeah, no, they just stopped feeding them. I'm not kidding.
No, that would be one form of horror that they do. This poor old lady was literally fighting for her life, and the doctor had the family hold her down. They came in and they gave this old woman a cup of coffee, and mm-hmm. the cup of coffee had a sedative in it, so she'd be easier to kill. And she must have known some part of her, she's got dementia, some part of her must have been aware that this is a setup, so she refused the coffee. And that's when the doctor went and said, I'm going to give you this injection. Oh, no, you're not. And then the doctor's like, well, hold her down, family. So the family held down mom while they administered a lethal dose of No More Mama. Terrifying. This old lady's fighting for her life. She doesn't want to go. And they all gang up and it's murder. And so now the medical board in the Netherlands is looking into it, and this ain't the first time.
Oh no, no, they're uncovering all kinds of the. They uncovered that in infants in the UK. They uncovered that in the elderly patients with dementia and other similar types. And I mean, just look at the high profile ones with Charlie Gard, Alfie Evans, and those kids. They literally had machines breathing for them. They yank out those machines and the kids literally suffocate to death. I mean, it's excruciating. And like everybody, oh, let's have nationalized healthcare. Nationalized healthcare, without a doubt, comes with rationing. Without a doubt. There are not infinite resources, and the worst doctors you can have are employed by the government. It takes medical innovation out of the game. It takes everything out of – what's the last great medical invention that came out of the UK?
Yeah, exactly.
None.
When's the last great medical invention that came out of Sweden?
Canada?
Nothing.
No, Israel and the United States pretty much lead that field.
So it's terrifying. There ain't no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, and then it's big government is never the answer. And then here's the other one that I just want to make sure that I debunk in a comedic fashion, hopefully today. This is kind of out of the blue. With Trump's with the roaring economy and the record unemployment and the GDP is at 4.1, blah 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 blah, and all these jackholes on CSN and MSNBC, they keep saying, well, he inherited Obama's economy. He inherited Obama's economy. It's then that I want to smash cut to Obama when he's out giving a speech for Hillary Clinton. You know, he's trying to get Hillary elected president, and he's talking about how Donald Trump can never make these. He's like, Donald Trump says he's going to make all these jobs. Donald Trump says he's going to bring our economy back. How's he going to do that? A magic wand? Does he have a magic wand? And it gets a big laugh. But to me, that's just proof positive that Obama had, he thought it was unsolvable.
Well, and Obama lost.
You can't say that Trump inherited Obama's roaring economy when Obama himself was stymied by it and only thought it could be fixed with magic.
Well, last statistic I saw is during the Obama years, we lost over 160,000 million manufacturing jobs. Since Trump's came into office, we've added 370.
It's
the numbers don't add up.
No, they don't. And the media, and this goes back to the beginning of our show and the whole fake news and the Jim Acosta and CNN, blah blah blah. For those 8 years, everybody kept telling it's going good. Boy, Obama got dealt a bad hand from George Bush, but boy oh boy, we're coming back. These numbers are good. These numbers are good, you guys. These are good numbers.
Doesn't stimulate the economy. Tons of regulation, an increase in taxes, all of those things contract the economy and contract business. What did the Republicans and Donald Trump do? They cut taxes, cash repatriated, companies actually make investments, they bring things back, which creates jobs. This had nothing to do with Obama.
And it's not that hard to figure out. Oh my gosh, this big giant bureaucracy is in the way. I have more faith in the American people than I have in big government. So let's get big government out of the way, and boom, I've said it before on the show. The way our society, this wonderful republic works, it's idiot proof. It's idiot proof. If you've got a crappy idea for a product, you're not going to sell it. And you're going to go away. If you've got a good idea, you'll thrive. Let's make it easier for more ideas, like Apple, like Elon Musk. And oh my gosh, this is another great segue. It's in terms of bad products and good products, and the government. Like NASA is talking about, hey, we're going back to the moon. They're going to retire the International Space Station in like 2024, something like that.
What are they going to do
with it? Who knows?
Are they going to blow it up? I mean,
maybe they'll sell it at a NASA yard sale or something. Well, first of all, we can't even get to it yet unless we're hitching a ride on a rocket, on a Russian rocket, right? So let's not offend Russia too much, or we can't get to the frickin' space station we half paid for. Anyway, NASA's like, we got new rockets, and we're going to go to the moon, and Trump's talking about we're going to have a space force, and blah, blah, blah. Then it finally occurred to some genius at NASA, they don't have spacesuits.
What?
They're running out of spacesuits. I'm not even kidding you, because we've had a couple of shuttles blow up, and you lose like beyond the loss of human life, you can't really recover the spacesuits. You use the space, so they're down to a handful of spacesuits. Those things were designed in like the 1970s. No one has updated them, and NASA has, since the late 1990s or the mid-1990s, NASA has blown through $200 million in research and development funds for new spacesuits, and they got nothing to show for it.
Wow.
Nothing. Yeah, so that's what big government gets you. So,
nothing.
NASA is calling up Elon Musk. And the dude from Virgin Galactic, Branson, like, hey, what are you guys using for spacesuits? And Elon Musk is like, well, we got a couple we're using. So it's like, let private companies do it. The big government is always too slow. They're going to waste your money. It's going to disappear.
Letting private companies educate our children. You should be letting private companies build the roads. There's a whole lot of things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If you've got a good product, it'll sell.
Yeah.
But my rogue, I wrote a thing I just thought this was funny, so I'm giving it a plug on the podcast. This Polish dude who invented vagina beer.
No.
Oh, like, to me, the comedy of it, it's a horrible idea.
It's a horrible idea.
And this is what I tried to focus on in the piece, and I'm going to be talking about it on stage. I'm going to be doing stand-up Wednesday night at the Comedy and Magic Club. Like, I always think this is hysterical because, like, this was this guy's dream. This was, like, you're a moron. Now, everybody's supposed to have – you can have a dream. This is – no one would help this guy out. He tried to crowdfund it. No one would do it because when you – at the pitch meeting, you're like, oh, it's going to be beer, but I'm going to use a bacteria that I'm going to scrape out of a woman's vagina.
No.
And everybody's like, okay, I'm done. Okay, I'm meeting's done. Over.
Like, as soon as you said that, I got this little – yeah, just a little bit of vomit in the back of my throat. I'm leaving now. Yeah. Ugh.
So – but he convinced someone else. That's the hilarious part. He got one anonymous donor to give him like 10,000 crookety crooks or euro blunglos. And so the guy's done it. He's made it.
And he can drink it.
Yes. Him and his buddy. And like his I hope his buddy is like a bajillionaire. Because my heart would break if it's just like some farmer guy in some Eastern European country who's saved all his life. And then he has to come home and tell his wife. He's like, darling, I think I have solved our financial crisis. Oh, I think I know our ship has come in. What did you do? Invest in gold? Silver? Biochips? No. Vagina beer.
In which case, he'd get hit in the head with a skillet.
Yes.
Every woman just knows that's a bad idea.
It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Go ahead.
It goes back to what we always say. It's the Jurassic question. The Jurassic posit is just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yes. Thank you, artificial intelligence developers. Yes. All of this
just
stuff.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Good point. But under that, there's more good news coming.
Oh, okay.
We got to have some good news to bring us home. This one blew me away. I got to thank my buddy. My buddy Ari is sending me all kinds of articles. I'm on some mailing list and I'm digging it. You see all these products for low T. I didn't even like know low T was a thing. But there's like testosterone creams you can use.
Pills,
dudes are injecting
gels. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're like super dangerous. But all these dudes, all these guys, these older dudes, you know, they want higher T. I want higher T. Doctor says they got low T. I want higher T. You can really have rage incidents. There's a lot of bad side effects with these. Testosterone. Guess what can increase your testosterone like 200% if you're a dude?
Having more sex?
Yes.
Okay.
That is one.
Is this like Family Feud where I gotta guess them in order? Or...
No, I just found I find this incredibly interesting, but you are partially correct. With testosterone, it's definitely either you use it or you lose it. How direct sunlight.
Really?
Whip your balls out in the sun, dudes. They have found that sunlight increases testosterone levels to like 160%. Now, there's a certain bandwidth of the kind of light. It's not UV, but it's red light. It's in the band that's, you know, we get from the sun. Like Superman. But red light, this dude from Men's Health tried this experiment. And he bought like this specialized because you know he's not a nudist or whatever. He can't go outside and you know whip his junk out in the sunlight. So it's a special red lamp, and like when he's writing his articles for Men Health, he would expose his nards to red light for like 20 minutes. 200% increase in testosterone. 200%.
Well, I think in men that helps you build muscle mass, helps you lose weight, helps your metabolism. I'm not even
mental,
lying.
Everything.
Keeps you from getting the moob.
Yes. Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants the boob.
If you should run into me on the street and I spontaneously whip out my nards, it's because I want to be healthy. There's nothing sexual about it.
Oh,
it's just
okay.
Me wanting to take care of me.
Maybe you should just buy the red lamp.
No. No, I mean, maybe.
Just a thought.
Why buy the red lamp when you can walk down Fifth Avenue with your junk swinging up?
No, the dude tried that in Planet Fitness and got kicked out.
There's no red light in Planet Fitness.
No,
there
he just got naked. He whipped his junk out.
Yeah, maybe he was a Spartan. Maybe he wanted to bring back the glory days of ancient Greece.
I don't know.
Everyone, here's some more good news, because I love it. I don't know if you were a fan of the old Star Trek The Next Generation. I don't know if you were a fan of Patrick Stewart, but every Star Trek fan dream came true. They're going to do another Star Trek series with Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
I did see that.
Patrick Stewart just signed on board.
And I have a dear friend who thinks he's the sexiest man alive, so I, of course, immediately put it up to her on Facebook and said, try not to get too excited. Try.
Patrick Stewart is pretty awesome. And if you ever want to treat yourself, ladies and gentlemen, go onto YouTube and search Patrick Stewart Quadruple Take. And it's a wonderful piece of video that he made with his girlfriend or his girl companion, whatever. And Patrick Stewart is so completely baked. He is just... He's in the middle of a very, very pleasant experiment with marijuana, which I think he does a lot. And he's telling his girlfriend, who's recording him on her phone, that a lot of actors can do a spit take, and that's easy. A lot of there's a few actors that can do a triple take, but only a great Shakespearean actor like himself can do a quadruple take. And to watch this fine, fine English-trained actor... stoned out of his mind, doing a quadruple take and giggling like a 14-year-old, it's hilarious and it's heartwarming and it's good.
It proves they're just like us. I'm kidding.
Oh yeah, I have no idea about that guy's personal politics, but it's I just find it entertaining and they're just laughing and giggling and they're having a great time. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Hello?
Hello.
I thought I lost you for a second. The silence was deafening.
Deafening. There was screeching going on, and I was trying to figure out what the origins were and if I needed to get involved. Back to the gypsy reunion.
It's
it
all
there. It seems to have stopped now.
Yes.
Maybe another adult got involved. I'm not really sure. I'm
hopefully
the main one.
You're the main gypsy in charge.
I'm the main Aunt Gypsy. Yes.
Well, it was a very. I'm going through my notes to make sure that I got everything that I could get. I thought the video this week was just hilarious. I thought that one would do better. The vlog. the Joe Scarborough thing, I'm gonna do more of them, you guys. Not this week, but soon. I got that Elvis wig on, and I've given Joe an over-the-top Southern Ohio accent, and man, it just makes me laugh so hard. And it's one of those things where this is gonna be big. This is gonna be big. And you guys just, you punted on it. So, hey, that's fine. That's fine. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to do that. Okay. What a show. What a great time. So to recap, everybody's all about the press. We dig it. We want journalists. We don't want opinions in our journalism. If you've got a good idea, we want to make it easy for you to sell it. That's the wonderful thing about capitalism. Socialism's never the answer. And that's the ironic thing. You know, like, when they talk about Paul Ryan and they do ads where he's pushing an old lady in a wheelchair off a cliff, socialism, where you get to hold down your mom as your doctor from the Netherlands kills her.
Yeah.
It's Unbelievable. Capitalism is the way to go. Free markets. It's all wonderful. Oh, and I made a new friend on Facebook. I'm not going to say anything yet. This person sent me a friend request. I accepted it. We'll see what happens. It could be big news. This could be an interview in the future. That would be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Very much okay.
Are you going to tell me when we hang up?
I certainly will. I certainly will. So, yeah. Oh, my God. Well, I'm going through it. We didn't get to a couple things, but it's good. It's an embarrassment of riches, you guys. You're always going to get more than you pay for, because right now you're not paying anything. Go to theloftusparty.com. Read my amazing review, my take on this dude's invention of vagina beer. There's great articles there all the time. There's new videos. The podcast is there. Everything is there. Theloftusparty.com. Be our friends. Thanks for liking. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for sharing the video. Oh, and I'll ask you this. Go to iTunes. Give us a little review. Click on some of those stars. It's all an algorithm. We know that Facebook's an algorithm, YouTube, all of it. So your interaction really, really helps, and we appreciate it. Okay, we will see you guys next week on another episode of The Loftus Party Podcasting.